this fine Tuesday afternoon edition with our good friend Matt Lodi, who writes and, or I should say, reports for the Associated Press in Cleveland, as well as Northeast Ohio. Is it NEO Sports Insiders? Help me remind me, Matt Lodi.
You got it, my friend.
That's what I wanted to hear. Matt Lodi, our good friend, talking a little bit of NFL football this fine Tuesday. First of all, before we talk about the decision made by the Browns that if Josh McCown gets through the protocol Wednesday, that he will indeed get his starting job back. Johnny Manziel's two bombs to Travis Benjamin, not enough to get him another start. But just real quick, Matt, as we look around the National Football League, starting with last night's game and another surprising 0-2 team. The Indianapolis Colts were kind of a popular, trendy pick to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. They're 0-2. The defending Super Bowl, or I should say NFC champion, Super Bowl participant Seahawks are 0-2. The New York Giants are 0-2. The Baltimore Ravens are 0-2. There are some supposedly very good teams who are off to 0-2 starts, and Matt, you probably well know, the statistics are not good. They're not in their favor. In fact, teams that start out the season 0-2 make the playoffs 11% of the time in the National Football League. So this is a strange start to the year, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, the other stat, Bob, that goes along with your 11% is since the 12-team playoff format started in 1990, only 23 of 204 teams that start out 0-2 have made the playoffs. Now, let me preface this, though. One of those 23 teams was the Indianapolis Colts from one season ago. So I'm not certainly ready to, you know, put the dirt on the grave of any of these 0-2 teams. I mean, there are some that you know just aren't very good. The Chicago Bears, to me, are in a clear rebuilding mode. I think the
There's a reason I didn't include them in the teams that I listed.
No, and I know where you're going. Yeah, and I even think, you know, I know you mentioned Chicago, New York, but I think the Giants aren't a very good football team either, to be perfectly honest. I think with their off-the-field distractions with JPP and all that mess, Tom Coughlin, I think, knows that this is probably the swan song for him. But the three most surprising, in my opinion, of course, is Indianapolis. The other one is Seattle. And the other one is the Baltimore Ravens, only because you don't normally see a Ravens team have a letdown. Week one, I understand. They lost to Peyton Manning. They lost to the Broncos, a defensive game. They probably should have won that game. But the game that really, I think, if you're a Ravens fan, has to really bother you and, of course, alarm you more than anything is that loss Sunday in Oakland. They had the lead 33-30 late after a Derek Carr interception. And their defense, which just continues to lose guys, and, of course, the big loss now is Terrell Suggs, just couldn't get the job done against, let's be honest, a not great Oakland Raiders team. Even though it was in Oakland, they did it with youth, they did it with talent, and they just marched down the field and got the job done against a normally very stout Ravens defense that, you know, kind of led them last year late in the season. You know, they beat the Browns the final week of the season. They took care of the Steelers in the wild card game pretty convincingly. And then they had two different times. They had 10-point leads over the Patriots in the divisional playoff game. So to me, that those three teams, of course, are the most alarming because of the fact that there were such high expectations.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. And like you said, you don't want to throw dirt on their graves yet because they certainly can rise from 0-2. Although one team I did not mention, of course, which is pertinent and germane to our conversation here in Northwest Ohio, is the Lions. This is a playoff team a year ago, and they have started off horribly. They cannot run the ball. I mean, they ran it okay in week one. They could not run it at all yesterday, and they certainly could not stop Adrian Peterson on Sunday. And this is a team that's got some problems. Matt Stafford is in a lot of pain. He's got rib and chest issues they took x-rays of. He's got a right arm injury. He's got a left hand injury. So this is another team that was a playoff team a year ago, like some of the other ones that I just mentioned, starting off 0-2. And Matt, yeah, I got to tell you, if I'm taking a shovel full of dirt and holding it over anybody right now of those 0-2 teams, it's the Lions, considering the fact that their next three are Broncos, Seahawks, and Cardinals before you finally get, you know, a breather, if you will, with the Bears. I mean, they could be staring 0-5 right in the mug.
Well, and there were some questionable coaching decisions Sunday. As I followed that game, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't watching that game as closely because I was at the Browns game on Sunday. But the one thing that it seemed to be the trend was, you know, week one, they got a pretty decent offensive output from their young running back, Abdullah. And then it seemed like on Sunday, they were going more with Joyke Bell, and I like Joyke Bell. I thought, you know, Joyke Bell was a pretty effective running back a season ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had such high hopes on this young Abdullah kid, and then in week two they kind of shifted their offense then to Joyke Bell, and I wasn't really understanding why that took place. But at the same time, it certainly looked like it hurt them. And you're right, Adrian Peterson, if there's one team that he just loves to have big days against, it's the Detroit Lions. And, you know, even though he didn't score a touchdown Sunday, I think he went for buck 30 somewhere around there. And, you know, to me, Detroit is always about their offense, about their passing game. And if Matthew Stafford is banged up, that's not a good sign, especially after week one. And it sounds to me, just, you know, in looking at some of their numbers and what's going on there, Bob, they've got to shore up that offensive line, because if they allow, just like with Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger, if they allow that offensive line allows the quarterback to get hit a lot, something bad's going to happen. And it sounds like with the Lions, that's already happened after 2 weeks. And you're right, with that schedule coming up, they're looking at possibly 1-4, 0-5, somewhere around there. And that's giving them a win, like you said, against one of those good teams, Denver, Seattle, or Arizona.
Yeah, exactly right. We're talking to Matt Lodi from NEOSportsInsiders.com, also reports for the Associated Press in Cleveland. Main reason we brought Matt on is to talk about the Browns, because the news today, you know, yesterday everybody was saying, boy, you know, even Merrill Hodge, you know, perhaps the strongest and most staunch critic of Johnny Manziel, who said they should cut him after his poor performance in week one, or his uneven performance. He started out okay. But turning the ball over, and he's never been a fan of Manziel's. He said they should straight up cut bait and get rid of him right now. After Sunday's performance, Matt, even Merrill Hodge was saying he should start. No question about it. He should start against the Raiders in week number three. And that's been kind of the popular opinion. Manziel has done enough to earn another start. Mike Pettine quickly putting that to bed, saying if Josh McCown passes the gets out of the protocol and is able to practice on Wednesday, I guess it'll be tomorrow, that he will start the game against the Raiders on Sunday. Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised, Bob, only because of what was said a week ago. I mean, we're in the exact same position we were a week ago with the situation, and that being that, you know, Josh McCown, you know, we all thought going into practice on Friday that if he could, you know, get out of the concussion protocol and practice, that he was going to play. I mean, it wasn't really until, I'd say, around 12:30 on Friday when the news broke that all of a sudden that Johnny Manziel would be the starter for the Browns. And, you know, listen, Manziel played a good game. I certainly don't want to take that away from him. Made the big play down the stretch to Travis Benjamin. But let's say what it is. I mean, the guy only, after starting out 4-4, I think he only had a stretch there through about 2.5 quarters where he only threw for about 15 or 20 yards. I mean, he did struggle, and the game was slipping away. Now, with all that said, again, I go back to what I just said earlier. He made the big play down the stretch. I am still of the belief system, Bob, that this franchise, meaning the head guys, and that, of course, means Ray Farmer, even though he's, quote, suspended, and, you know, Mike Pettine, and even Jim O'Neill, DeFlippolino, the offensive coordinator, I am still very much in the belief system that they want Josh McCown to be the starter. I think that they have their doubts about Johnny. He still tends to put the ball in the turf too much. He takes a lot of hits because of his style of running the football and getting outside the pocket. And you know, you've seen him and I've seen him, Bob. This isn't the biggest guy in the world. This isn't, you know, even Steve McNair of the past, or Vince Young, or maybe of a later day, a Ben Roethlisberger, a guy that can absorb those hits. And I think there's a fear that if he takes one big hit, you know, just like we saw last year in that Carolina game, his second start, that he's going to have to sit for a while. And I think that they want to see what Josh McCown can do.
But
there's
why?
A reason they
but
signed
why,
him
Matt?
To
That's
a big
what
deal.
I don't understand. Well, let me interrupt, because Josh
ahead.
McCown is what he is. There's no mystery as to what this journeyman is. He's not going to be the starter week one next year, probably under any circumstances. That's what I don't get here. And I have to admit, I've gone back and forth on Manziel. I, since they drafted him, I said, good move. He's going to be something. He's going to work through this. We'll give him some time, yada, yada. I mean, he's got the goods, all this stuff. I thought he could overcome his height, et cetera. But then even I was like, all right, well, then maybe it is time to cut bait after week one. Maybe it is. You just, you know, let it go and find somebody else. But now he gives you a little bit of ray of hope, Matt, and here's what I don't get. Why do we want to, quote, unquote, see what Josh McCown can do? Who cares what Josh McCown can do? This is not a Super Bowl team. This team is not going to win a championship this year. And if that is the case, and Josh McCown is a short-term stopgap solution right now anyway, why not put Manziel on the field for an extended run? Give him, without a short leash, and find out, is he possibly your quarterback in week one next year and going forward? And if not, now you know. All you've got is the stopgap, you know, Josh McCown, and we're drafting a quarterback high next spring. I just don't understand why you go back to McCown, and I know he, you know, the old cliche is you don't lose your job to injury anyway. He was the starter, blah, blah, blah. But from a big picture perspective, macro, not micro, looking at this, you got to figure out if Johnny Manziel can play. He gave you a little bit of hope and reasons that he can make big plays and make some things happen. He led the team to a win in his first start of the season on Sunday. Don't you want to get a bigger sample size to find out whether or not this guy can do it or not?
Well, I do. You know, and I think I'm in the corner of Browns fans everywhere because, you know, and just kind of being up on Twitter last night and seeing some of the reaction when, you know, after Mike Pettine spoke yesterday and kind of gave that, again, sort of inclination that it's going to be a wait and see and it's going to be a situation where if McCown can go, more than likely he would go. And then Chris Mortensen came out at halftime last night on the telecast and said that, you know, McCown would, quote, likely be the starter this week. There's one word that I'll give you that I think why Farmer, Pettine, you know, and all these guys want Josh McCown, and that is stability. And I know that that's a weird word to say because, as you said, and I know, well know, it's a one-year stopgap situation, but I think they feel inside that this team has some other pieces and parts enough defensively, and at least a moniker of an offense with Duke Johnson now and Isaiah Crowell and, you know, a couple guys on the outside that maybe can make some plays, that they feel that Josh McCown gives them a sense of stability and not this very much up and down performance like we saw in week one. You know, he comes out, Manziel throws the long touchdown and then kind of falls apart. Again, kind of like last week, they get the 14-0 lead. You know, Benjamin gives them the punt return to make it 21-0. The offense is in that stagnant, you know, kind of realm into the second half, and then they make the big play at the end. I think that the organization, and again, I mean the higher ups, want to see a team that, you know, maybe is a little more stable on the field, even though it might not have that big playability with Josh McCown over Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, and I understand that. And that's been the one word, I think, that is probably that you could not use to describe the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation since they returned in 1999. Stability. I mean, we all have seen the jersey with the 25 names on the back of it, all the stars
right.
that they've had. I get it. I understand that. They want some stability. But all I'm saying is they have never had in that time, or at least maybe only once or twice, have they had somebody that can provide a little bit of excitement, a little bit of big play potential, and you don't know if he's good enough to do it going forward. You know, here's what I'm saying, Matt. If they knew and believed that Johnny Manziel, man, we have seen little flashes of brilliance from him, and we know he's going to be the guy. He just needs a little more seasoning. He needs a little more time studying underneath a guy like a veteran like Josh McCown. We're going to let Josh start the rest of the season, and then Johnny takes over next year. That's great. But they don't have that. They have a huge, giant question mark. Is he the guy that fumbled twice in each of the last two games, or is he the guy that hit Travis Benjamin for three bumps for touchdowns, including a clutch one when the offense had gone stagnant and the lead was shrinking against Tennessee on – I almost went old school Houston – Tennessee on Sunday. They don't know which it is, so for God's sake, you know, you have to find that out because you can't go into next year with the same question mark, draft a quarterback in the sixth round and bring him in just to see if he's a call, you know. I mean, for goodness sakes, if you're not a championship caliber team, and I'm sorry, I don't care how high you might be on the defense, and I still have some questions there. I don't care how high, well, you can't be high on anything else. Quite frankly, there's nothing else to be high on. They don't have a great running game. They don't have a great passing game. They don't have an elite group of receivers. It's going to be nip and tuck all year long. If you win a few games here, that's fine. This is not a playoff team. It's not a championship caliber team. And if that's the case, then for goodness sakes, you know, if it's really a coin flip here, stability with Josh McCown, or let's get the question answered so we know if we got to cut this guy loose and draft another guy high or whether we can count on him going forward, let's find out. One way or the other. I don't understand why they would have any other thinking.
Well, and let me just put it this way, too. I don't think even if Josh McCown is available to come back this week, and he does come back this week, and let's even say, go so far as saying they beat the Oakland Raiders, I'm still not thinking in my mind anyway that you're not going to see a lot of Johnny Manziel in 2015. Whether it's, you know, everybody going into the season, Bob, thought that, okay, McCown's going to start the first couple of games, maybe four, maybe six, maybe eight, But then you would see Johnny Manziel at some point, kind of like what happened last year. I don't think a lot of people thought the Browns would be 7-3 last year.
But Matt, I get that, but that's what I don't like. That's what they did to him last year.
I know. I don't disagree.
You know, after things fell apart under Hoyer, then they put him in there for you know, at the wrong time. Right now, the season is still quote-unquote meaningful. The games are meaningful, and this is the time to see him do this. And I don't want to see a four-game sample size with him, Matt. I want to see a 15-game sample size with him. I need to find out if the guy can play or not, so we can either cut him loose and say, good luck parking cars for the rest of your career, or you're our guy. I mean, honestly, they can't wait until, you know, McCown starts for the first 7-8 weeks, in my opinion. I just don't see it.
Well, and I'm not going to disagree with that thought process, Bob, but I still think at the end of the day, when you look at this organization and you look at where, you know, things are right now with Josh McCown, where things are with Johnny Manziel, I went into the season believing you were going to see both quarterbacks extensively, whether it started with McCown and ended up with Manziel, whether we had the situation like we did in week one where McCown gets hurt. I just felt like at some point the organization, I'm on board with your theory that they need to find out long term what's going to happen with Johnny Manziel. And I think those questions will finally be answered this year, because I think you're going to get a large enough sample size to where he's going to get to play enough. And I think you're also, though, going to get to see some Josh McCown. And I think what I think is going to happen here is, as I said earlier, I think the fan base is going to get real despondent, though, because I think you're going to flip-flop, and I think you're going to flip-flop this week, because I do think they're going to go back to Josh McCown. And do I think there's going to be a short leash on McCown? Maybe not necessarily a short leash, but I think that they probably at least know in their mind now, yes, we can turn to a guy like Johnny Manziel when things get tough, or again, if Josh McCown can't get the job done or gets injured or whatever it might be, I don't think that they would hesitate now, maybe as they would earlier, to go to a guy like Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, and I'll say this, Matt, too, as we wrap this up. If he gets time, talking about Manziel, if he gets time, when he gets time, we see him, as you point out. I want to see him in the best case scenario, not the emergency case scenario, like we saw in week one. In week one, of course, he was thrust into duty without having any reps with the first team in practice, without really having any reps of any kind, because he had the tendonitis issue with his elbow too. He wasn't even thrown for the last, you know, two weeks before the start of the season. I don't want him to be seen only when Josh McCown goes out with an injury. I want to see him when he has a week of preparation like he did this past week, first team reps, getting on the same page with Benjamin and Hartline, all the receivers, and seeing how the offense operates with him knowing he's the starter and that he's not on a short leash, there's not going to be a quick hook, et cetera. That's the only way to truly evaluate, I think, what this guy can do. I think it would be doing a disservice to him and to the team as they try to figure this out if they only give him time, as we say, you know, in an urgency circumstance instead of a best case scenario.
Yeah, and again, I am on board with wanting to give Johnny a long term, you know, effort to be able to be on the field to see what he can do, so on and so forth. I just, as I keep saying, unfortunately, and I know Browns fans don't want to hear this, I think the Browns brass are in a different mindset right now with this quarterback situation, to where they felt like they put a lot into Josh McCown. He started the preseason. He was named the starter early on. I think that they feel like, okay, this is the guy right now. Let's see what he can do. And they're going to let this guy run with the show this week. And as I said earlier, though, if this week doesn't go so well, or again, something happens and he doesn't, you know, get injured, we don't want to say we want to see that, obviously. But if he happens to, I think that they would then obviously give Johnny the keys. I think I agree with you in this point, Bob. I know you got to wrap up, but Johnny's got to get the keys to the car, and he's got to get them long term. I just don't think it's going to be right now as we move forward in week three.
Yeah, I understand. I really do. And it's a tough thing, and I don't envy Mike Pettine. The circumstances aren't what he would have chosen to be ideal, and it's not what I would have chosen either. I would rather have if McCown was going to play, I'd rather have him play just right from the get-go, no injury, and let him play, and it is what it is what we had planned. But now that it happened, and Manziel gave everybody a little spark and gave everybody a little hope, it's like, huh. The guy has made some plays. He has gotten out of the pocket. He, instead of panicking, he's actually stopped and planted. I mean, he extended that play on that big-time fourth-quarter throw to Benjamin. It was a fantastic thing, and that's what people saw coming out of A&M. And they said, you know, he can do that. He can do that just as well as any other six-foot quarterback in the league who has done good things, and there have been some. You know, you don't have to stand back there at 6'6", and tower in the pocket. He can do those things. since he gave us a little taste, it leaves you wanting more. And I think the Browns need to find out how much more is there. Maybe that was it. We saw the peak of Johnny Manziel, and he can't do that on a regular basis, but at least then we'll know. And then you ride, you know, into next season, you know, knowing you got to draft somebody higher and make a deal or whatever it is you got to do. But real, real tough situation for Mike Pettine and the guys right now. Matt Lodi, read him and follow him and visit his website on a regular basis. Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders, NEOSportsInsiders.com. Matt Lodi also reporting for the AP out there in Cleveland as well. NEOSportsInsiders.com. Matt, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much for your thoughts.
Thanks, Bob. God bless. Have a great day.
You do the same, my man. There you go. Matt Lodi talking a little bit about the quarterback situation with Johnny Manziel.